I'm so blessed. It talks that one line in there says, I'll praise him forever. We know forever started today. Amen. So some of y'all are already behind. Amen. And he is worthy of our praise this morning. I promise you that. And I thank the Lord for his goodness. Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. Find your place here in the Word of God. Don't forget the service tonight. And be in your place 6 o'clock, the good Lord willing. And we'll be gathered back together and see what the Lord has for us. And I trust you making plans to do that. And I thank you for praying during the revival meeting. Had a great meeting this week at Brother Tucker's. The Lord bless us each night. And I thank you for that. And appreciate those who were able to come on Wednesday and support the meeting and how the Lord helped us. And I'm glad that there's still some good churches that we can fellowship with that are still preaching the truth. There's not many left, but there's still a few. Amen. And I thank God for that. And I appreciate the joy of the Lord. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll get to have Ugly Christmas Sweater Sunday. And I'm looking forward to that. And then our church-wide Christmas party that Sunday night. We're going to have a good time. And I just enjoy church. Some people come to church and it looks like they're getting ready to get a root canal. I mean, they're just sitting in the waiting room of the dentist, dreading it. I don't go to church that way. I'm excited about being in the house of God. And somebody said, why are you like that? I'm saved. Yeah, I like what Bud Stiltner said. Saved people do saved things, and saved things is go to church. Amen. And I like going to church. Amen. And being in the house of the Lord. And if you ever get to a point where you're not physically able to go, it'll make it real to you. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to preach about it this morning, but a lot of people give a lot of excuses. One day God's going to give you a real reason, and you won't have any excuse, and you'll wish you didn't use lousy excuses. Hey, Merry Christmas, amen. Don, you're walking in at the right time, man. You're walking in at the right time. I need you to come rescue this thing, amen. We done got it on life support in here, amen. Luke chapter 2, let's stand together, and we'll read the Word of God this morning, try to give what God's laid on my heart. And we started this last Sunday. Ain't you glad that I'm making this 4 services and not one sermon, amen? We're spreading it out a little bit. Luke chapter number 2, and let's begin reading this morning. Let's read verse number 7 for sake of context, and then we'll read down through verse number 20, amen. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Time out. Angels ain't saved. Angels ain't never been redeemed, and they praising God. What's your problem? Amen. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad this saying which was told in them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray together. Father, we love you because you first loved us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I pray now as we approach your word, Lord, you touch us and anoint us, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, give us that unction and power we need to preach the word of God effectively. Touch every heart. Meet every need, we pray. Lord, may the word of God have free course through business in our hearts today. We'll love you and thank you for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I appreciate you for standing. while we read the Word of the Lord and prayed together. We began preaching last Sunday morning a little mini Christmas series entitled, What Will You Give the Lord for Christmas? We made the illustration, how'd you like it if it was your birthday and everybody come to celebrate your birthday, but then everybody exchanged gifts with one another and you didn't get anything. I'll tell you something, I'm burning something down. I'm just be honest with you, hey man, I'm mine gonna do something about it because it's my day. It ought to be about me. Somebody say, you're awful selfish. Well, I learned it from you, alright? I'm just saying, we are all made that way and we all like receiving gifts. If you don't like receiving gifts, give me yours. Somebody said, well, it's more cheerful to give than receive. Yeah, but it's a whole lot more fun to receive. Amen. I'm being honest with you. But we made that illustration about the Lord, Christmas being the Lord's. We understand He was not born on December 25th. I understand that. But this is a day that we set aside to observe the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often during this time of year, we focused on everything. During the Christmas season, we focus on the lights. I like the lights. I like the tree. I like all the decorations. I like the poinsettias when I've not killed them. And I did. We have two in critical condition this week. But I like all the decorations. I like all the food. Somebody say amen right there. But I'll tell you, many times we are very neglectful about the real reason for Christmas. And that is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, I believe the birth is a big deal. Well, if He wasn't born, then He couldn't have died. And if He didn't die, He couldn't have rose again. If He couldn't rose again, I couldn't be saved. Somebody say amen there. And so the birth is part of the gospel. And so last week we were looking at four different characteristics or characters in the Christmas story about what they gave the Lord Jesus. Last Sunday morning we looked at the wise men and we talked about how they presented their treasures to the Lord. They gave their possessions, those things that were near and dear to them. Brother Charles, they did not hold them for themselves, but they made sure that Jesus got what was precious to them. Then on Sunday night, we talked about Mary and how Mary presented her body unto the Lord. And that's exactly what Paul admonished the church in Romans chapter 12, to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This morning, I want to take a step further, and I want to look at, as you've already told this morning, we'll look at the shepherds. And I want to talk about the shepherds this morning, and I've got three things I want to say about them, and then I've got three more things, and I've got three things under each of those three things. You know how it works, alright? But I really want to get to one, I've got one word I want to get to about the shepherds, and I'm not going to give you the title, what they gave until later on in the message. But I do want to say word about the representation of these shepherds. As we begin to look at these shepherds in verse number 8, we find that they represent sinners lost without God on their way to hell. Hey, the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, that little baby, those little children, when they're born, boy, they're so precious and they're so wonderful. I tell you what they are. They're not little angels, they're little devils, but they are. They was born from their mother's womb speaking lies. Amen. Are you right saying amen to that? I understand we are all born sinners naturally. We are wicked and lost without God. These shepherds picture sinners in the fact of their position. The Bible said they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. When you study out the Word of God, you understand the field is a picture of the world. And so we see these shepherds, they're out in the world. They're out distant. They're distant. They are far from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not close to that manger. There's a lot of distance between them and that manger. And do you remember you were lost without God? We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, from the covenant of promise. We were outcasts from all that. They were distant. They're also defiled. They don't have showers and sinks out there in the field when you're watching your sheep. You can't wash up, get cleaned up, get to smelling good and all that stuff out in the field. You smell like the animals out there. And so they're distant, but they're defiled. I'm talking about they picture sinners in their position, but they picture sinners in their practice. The Bible said they're keeping watch over their flocks by night. You know what? There's a lot of arguing about this. I'm gonna give you both sides of it. Some people say that the reason they were watching sheep that night is because it's very possible that those sheep would be used in the temple sacrifices one day. So they were going through their religious practice. They were going through a form of religion hoping that would appease the wrath of God, but it never would. And there's a lot of people in our churches today, they go through a religious practice, hoping if they come to church, they put their offering in, they shake hands with the preacher on the way out, they say that gets them in good with God, but that has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. What matters is what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not joining the church, salvation is not being dunked in the baptism of Paul, but salvation is trusting Christ and Christ alone for your eternal soul. But all, even possibly in this church this morning, there are people that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and they're going through their religious practice, just going through the motions. They got everybody fooled, but they ain't got God fooled. Religious practice, then they're going through their routine procedures. They're just going through their normal life, going through the motions. They're shepherds. You know what shepherds do? They watch sheep. They just go through the motions. Hey, I'm saying I'm burdened by people that come to church. They can go through the motions, but there'll never be any emotion. And I will quote Dr. Alfred Willis on this. Hey, all emotion without devotion is just commotion. I do believe that as well. But I'm telling you this morning, I just don't want to go through the motions. I just don't want to be a robot and just go through things. I want to be out of my, I want to sing from my heart. I want to preach from my heart. I want to live for God with all my heart and my soul and my mind. But these shepherds, they're just going through the usual routine. They're going through their religious practice in a usual routine. They picture the shepherds in their position, in their practice, and in their problem. The Bible said they're keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now, I ain't too smart, and I appreciate you not saying amen right there. But it's dark at night. These shepherds were in darkness. They ain't got lamps out there as far as we know. They ain't got headlamps out there so they can see. They're out there in the darkness. And that picture's sinners. They're lost. Well, why are sinners out like, because, like they do? Because they're in darkness. Paul said that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them. They're in darkness. That's why I'm not bothered by what we see in the world. They're sinners being sinners. I'm more bothered by what we see in the church than I am in the world. Amen. The world, I'm used to them drinking and cussing and shooting one another and stabbing one another. That's what they're supposed to do. They're sinners. But in the church, we'll be a little better than that, shouldn't we? Amen. That's right. I'm just telling you this morning, they picture sinners in their position, in their practice, and in their problem. Not only the representation of these shepherds, but the, I won't say a word about the revelation to these shepherds. They're out there in the dark, minding their own business, going through their religious routine in the dark. They stink. They smell. They're far away from God. But then a revelation took place. Out of nowhere. I'm feeling good. There was a revelation of the glory of God in verse number 9. The Bible said, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. Hey, the glory of God showed up, and they realized who they were, and they realized who God... That sounds like Holy Ghost conviction to me. When you realize who you are, and you realize how wicked you are, and how wretched you are, and how worthless you are, but then you see the glory of God, and you recognize how great He is, and how wonderful He is, and how marvelous He is. His marvelous glory, manifested glory, magnificent glory. He had a glorious background. He had a glorious birth. He has glorious blood and supernatural glory, strengthening glory, satisfying glory, showing up glory, amen, saving glory, sanctifying glory, shining glory, and you can get on the spout where the glory comes out. His name is glorious. His nature is glorious. And the way He meets our needs is glorious. He has powerful glory, protecting glory, preserving glory, prominent glory, and Fanny Cross, he said to God, be the glory. Great things we have done. We sung it this morning. Glory to His name. I'm so glad for the day when the glory of God shone on my life. And I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell under the judgment of God. But He wanted to save me. And He wanted to change me. And He wanted to make a difference in my life. Had a revelation of the glory of God. Had a revelation of the goodness of God. Verse 10, the angel said, fear not. You remember when you was in a conviction, you realized you was on your way to hell, but then you heard, fear not. I ain't preaching on, I'm just trying to get where I want to preach, but I'm feeling pretty good right now.
when the wrath of God comes to him, the condemnation of God was upon your soul. Then you heard, fear not. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, watch this now. At good tidings, it means good news. And you know what gospel means? Gospel means good news. And as cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Hey, you remember when you was in the far country on your way to hell? But thank God good news came from that other country, that better country, that glorious country, that heavenly country. Amen. God's country. I'm not talking about Georgia either. I'm just talking about the glory of God came your way and showed you your need of a Savior and then gave you the gospel. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher don't preach the gospel. I don't know what a plug nickel is, but I wouldn't give you one for it. It's just something old timers say. Joel Osteen, and come on, they don't preach the gospel. Benny Rooster. Brother Ben shot a rooster and killed a hen. I've been wanting to say that for months now. I mean, those guys, they don't preach the gospel. Oh, Kenneth Copeland, he cursed the COVID. Nice cursing baldness. He said, put your hand on your head and the hair will begin to grow if you say this prayer. Amen. I bet you sent an offering, didn't you? Amen. They don't preach the gospel. They preach health, wealth, and prosperity. Well, what good is your health, wealth, and prosperity if you die and go to hell? What shall profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul is what Jesus said. I'll give you time for that. And I don't give you time for somebody to preach the cheapened gospel. Well, you just do this, this, and this, and you'll be all right. You just repeat this little prayer, sign this card, join the church, we'll dunk you yours. That is not salvation. Salvation is realize you're lost on your way to hell without God. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nothing you can do to buy salvation. And you just cling to the cross. So I said, preacher, are you saying that salvation is just putting it all on Jesus and trusting Jesus? That's exactly what I'm saying. Amen. You ask somebody, are you saved? Well, I prayed. I didn't ask you prayed. I prayed when I got saved, but watch this now. My prayer didn't save me. I believed in my heart, then I confessed with my mouth. That's King James Bible right there, friend. Amen, that's right. Now we got, I mean, it's a problem when you've had 10,000 people saved in your church in 20 years, and you're still running the same 45 you've always had. There's some twofold child of hell somewhere. I'm telling you, these men realized they were lost without God. They realized they couldn't do anything. But the glory of God and the gospel of the grace of God came their direction. Amen. I'm liking this. Then they had a revelation of God's grace. It said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You shall find the babe, and this shall be a sign of you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Here's what I love about this. The message is, in verse 11, He has come. Did you see that? For unto you is born to stand and see David, saved with Christ the Lord. The message is, He has come in verse 12, but the message in verse 12 is, you can come. Do you see that, you King James? Verse 11, He's here. He has come. Verse 12 is, now you can come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. There's revelation of God's greatness, verse 13 and 14. That heavenly host, praising God and not singing, they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. But I'm interested in all in the not in the representation, not in the revelation of these shepherds. I could preach all that, and you know I could. We could just drop the plow and just preach a little while and shout. But I'm interested in the response of these shepherds. Once the glory and the goodness and the grace and the greatness of God were revealed to these shepherds, Brother Don, they had a decision to make. Bible said in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. They said, James said, if you hear and don't do, you're deceiving yourself. See, they made a personal response. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. That means each one of them made a personal decision. It was a perfect response. They made the right decision. But here's the word I'm interested in. Look at verse number 15. Let us, see it? Now. Now go.
It didn't say, Brother Richard, let us go in the morning. It didn't say, let us go tomorrow. It said, let us now. It was a prioritized response. So the preacher, what did the shepherds give to the Lord? Well, the wise men gave their possessions. Mary gave her person, but the shepherds gave their priority. They're busy. They got stuff to do. But on this night, everything else took a back seat. Watch this now. And it was all about Him. They gave their priority to the Lord. Now, Colossians 1, I knew it would get quiet right here because everybody knows where I'm going. If you think you know where I'm going, it's because that's where I'm going. I'm going to drop the plow and preach a while. Bible said that in all things, He might have the preeminence. My Bible didn't say, now if you got a funny Bible, it might say most things. My Bible said in all things, He might have the preeminence. That word preeminent means to be first, to hold first place. Well, I love this definition, to have the highest rank of influence. It means when you got two things pulling at you, one of them's Jesus Christ and the other one's something else, what has the highest rank of influence in your life that's going to base your decision? The shepherds, they said, let us N-O-W now go. What are you waiting on? Now think about this. What is the highest thing on your list of priorities and influence? Now, I want you to think about these shepherds' relationship to Christ, Brother Don. They've never met Him. They don't know Him. They've never met Him. They've never had a conversation with Him. They've never had a fellowship with Him. They've never had Him meet their needs, answer their prayer, calm their storm, heal their loved ones. They've never had a copy of the Bible. They've never been to church and worship as we have today. They've never been saved as we have today. The Spirit of God does not indwell them as the Spirit of God does today. But in spite of all these facts that are true, they still put Him first. I know Him. I fellowship with Him. He's met my needs. He's answered my prayers. He's calmed my storm. He's healed my body. I have a Bible. I have the house of God. I am saved. The Spirit of God lives in me. Then why am I putting all this other junk in front of Him? Are you helping me now? The shepherds gave the priority to the Lord. Well, preacher, it's Christmas. It must be sweet Christmas messages. All right, 'twas the night before Christmas and all God's people were living like the devil. There you go. Hey, man, some of you need to smile. What I'm saying is, I'm guilty of this. We're all guilty of this. Everything get so conglomerated and gommed up in our life. And if something's going to take a back seat, it's the things of God. And we'll use reasonable excuses. I've got to take care of my family. Yes, you do. But don't you think God knows that? God's like, oh, I didn't know that. Excuse me. I just been God forever. He knows that. Well, I got to do this. Don't you think He knows that? We're all busy. We've all got things. But you know, everybody gets 24 hours in a day. Everybody gets 365 days a year, except for that one weird time every 4 years where we get like an extra day. And thankfully that wasn't 2020. God knows we don't need an extra day of 2020. But what I'm saying is, we get so busy that the Lord often takes a back seat. You know what I've been guilty of doing? And we've all done it. We have projects come up, things come up. And our family sometimes takes a back seat. Maybe I'm the only sorry husband in here then. Ladies, you can testify this. Give you an example. I ain't picking on my in-laws at all, and I hope this don't start a fight. Wade does upholstery work. He has never upholstered a piece of his own furniture. Has he? Years ago, okay. I did hear Miss Leslie said that Hook had never painted his own house. Alright. You see? And I'm not being critical of those. I'm using illustration. The things closest to us sometimes take a back seat. I'm not being critical of Brother Wade or Brother Hook. Here's my point. We say the Lord's closest to us and means everything to us. But He's the first thing that goes in the back seat. Are you getting the point? And maybe Brother Hook will see this and get under conviction and paint the house, and maybe Wade will upholster or something. Amen. He did paint a bathroom? Well, see, they're both making progress. Amen. Amen. They keep coming to counseling. We'll help them out. Here's what I'm saying. So many times the Lord takes a back seat in our life. You know what the Bible says? Matthew 6:33. See if I can quote this book, Sanford. But seek ye second the kingdom of God. First. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. According to Romans 14:17. The shepherds gave their priority. Brother Sammy Allen, who went to heaven this year, he said, I never talk to anybody in the morning. Try not to talk to anybody until I talk to the Lord first. That's a good priority. It's a good priority. Try to talk to nobody else before I talk to him. Hey, let's put me under the, what's the first thing we pick up in the morning? Our cell phone or our Bible? Preacher, you just meddling now. What's the first thing? What is our priorities in life? Hey, a man ought to work. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for whatever plug nickel is. I ain't giving nobody a plug nickel, not that I have one. Man won't work. Won't get a job, wants to live off welfare and all that kind of, I ain't got time for none of that. I ain't talking about people that need it. I don't know people are just lazy and don't want to work. Amen. I'm against that. But God knows that. And I promise you, sir, you put God first, man, you put God first in that job, God will bless you for it. Amen. Hey, I love my family. I do. Ain't nothing I wouldn't do for my family. Except get another border collie. That ain't happening. Amen. We might get a boa constrictor before we get another border collie. I'm just telling you. Dumbest animal I've ever seen in my life. And Nathan Kirkman's got one too. He says the dumbest animal he's ever seen. I think they might be kin. Yeah. Or it's just a breed. Amen. Don't tell Eric he is the president of defensive border collie. What I'm saying is this morning, what was I talking about before y'all got me distracted? I have no idea. What's that? I'll do anything for him except get a border collie. That's what it was. But they know that the Lord comes first, not the church. I said the things of God. You see, it needs to be the church, it needs to be the Lord, your family, then the church. But a lot of people use that family thing. You gotta go see grandma on Sunday night. Well, go see grandma on Monday night. She ain't going nowhere. It's COVID. Come on now. We put everything in front of the Lord. You know why you're getting upset at me right now? Because you know I'm telling the truth. Everything gets put in front of Him. And we know Him. We've met Him. We fellowship with Him. We claim to be saved. Claim to have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Shouldn't He get our priority? Shouldn't He be the focus of our life? You see, a lot of people just treat church and salvation in the Bible like fire insurance. It'll be nice when I need it. He deserves the priority of our life. Well, let me give you three little points for those who are still with me. Why did these shepherds desire to put Christ first in their life? I want to say three things to you out of verse number 11, why they put the Lord first. It won't take me very long. Number one, for the passion that is expressed. For unto you is born this day. Salvation had come to them, Brother Tony. Think about this. There's the past prophecy. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born. And that's exactly right. But the present proclamation is for unto you. Now, in the context of Isaiah 9, Brother Richie obviously is talking to the nation of Israel. But in Luke 2:7, he made it personal. He said, boys, the Son of God is born unto you. Jesus came for you. That's a preacher. That's your point? That's exactly what my point is. He came for you. The passion is expressed. The purpose is explained. Watch what he says. For unto you is born this day a Savior. In the city of David, a Savior. What does that word Savior mean? It means one that rescues. It means one that redeems. We were all under the judgment and the condemnation of God, and we all needed a Savior. And then because of the person that is exalted, which is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah. He's called Christ, the Anointed One. And He is the Master. He's called Lord. When the shepherds heard that, Brother William, they said, forget the sheep. Where's he at? That's their labor. I'm not saying quit your job unless God told you to. and serve God full time. Right? Unless, hey, Dr. Ron Garris, he used to preach, said, you men that's got a good retirement at 50 years old, you ought to retire at 50, take your pension, and spend the rest of your life serving God. Yeah, he got, that's about the response he got too. But that man believed God, I'll say that. Hey, man, I saw him pray more things in than Moses. But what I'm saying is, putting God first in our life. You know, those Levites, I talk about the Levites, you know, living here at the church, being like the Levites. The Levites in the Old Testament, they lived at the tabernacle. Now, I'm not suggesting that y'all all sell your houses and buy fifth wheels and we camp out around here. Please know, I'm trying to get away from people. All right? Somebody, we don't want a Safe Harbor trailer park, amen? Hey, but the way we are, might as well. We are the crazy church in town, let's add to it, all right? But you know, so I said, what kind of property you look for? I said, I will walk out my front door and see nobody. I mean, that's what I want to do. Amen. That just sounds, I feel like I'm getting old, but I just don't want to see nobody. Amen. I don't care about Mr. Rogers being my neighbor. I really don't care. Amen. But here's my point. Those Levites, they lived there. Those other 11 tribes, they were scattered around the tabernacle. But the Levites lived there in the tabernacle. The Levites, when they got to the land of Canaan, I preached on this before, they didn't get any possession of the land of Sanford. Judah got possession. Dan, he got possession. Manasseh, Ephraim, they all got parts of the land, but Levi didn't. You know what Levi was? Levi's lot. You know what the Bible says in Deuteronomy? The Lord is his inheritance. Y'all remember me preaching on that? The Lord is his inheritance. Now think about Levi. He sent all of his friends out there in the world getting their land and getting their property and getting all that stuff. And he ain't got nothing. But he's got more than what he thinks he's got. Because he put God first and served God with his life. The Bible said the Lord is his inheritance. I got news for you. Judah lost his land. Dan lost his land. Say that five times fast. All the 11 tribes, they lost their land. That's what they're fighting over right now. Levi? He didn't lose the Lord. And I'm telling you, the things that people put the influence on their life. Hey, I want to get a new house. I want new things. I want to have things. But that is not my passion and my drive. All those things be set aside. I want Him. I want Him in my life. Well, preacher, ain't you saved? You've got Him. I understand that. Maybe I should rephrase that. I want Him to have more of me. I want Him to be the priority in my life. Who has first place in your life? We laugh at the world. You know, how can anybody be just attached to a bottle, a beer bottle? That rot gut stuff. How about anybody do that? And people say, well, how can anybody be addicted to such a wicked lifestyle and all that kind of stuff? And all they do, we all know somebody that's on drugs or alcohol or something, and all they do is put that first. And the people that love them, they just in the back. Come on, we all know somebody like that. And they don't care. They have no love, no passion for anybody. All they want is that fix. That next hit, that next high, that next pill, that next bottle. That's what they do. I'm not being critical. That's just the way it is. And so many times we're focused on so many worldly things. And the one that loves us, the Lord Jesus, died for us, cares for us, takes a back seat. And many times, and I'm not being critical, but those individuals, they only call when they need something or want something. I'm not being critical. We know that's the truth, church. And we all try to help folks and pray for folks. But here's what I'm saying. Are we guilty of being a junkie with the Lord? Only calling when we want or need something? And then He don't hear from us? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? A lot of times we end up as spiritual junkies. We go and live what we want to do. And we have a little issue come up. We come crying to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us. Then when He helps us, we go on and we don't even think nothing else about it. Does that make sense? I mean, boy, and you know, all of us, we'd say, if we had family members or friends like that, we'd say, man, that's sorry how they do that. That's sorry how they just use people like that. I want the Lord to look at us and say, you know, I saved them. And I love them. I gave them a word of God. The Spirit of God indwells them. But they don't love me enough for this and for that. And that really has first place in their life. That really has prominence and priority in their life over me. I die for them. I sent my son to be beaten and tormented. And he rose again. And he saved them. And I've taken care of them. I've been feeding them and providing for them. And I'm putting breath in their body. But that gets more attention than me? Wouldn't none of us put up with that, would we? And I'm grateful for the mercy of God. But I'll tell you, that's abusing God's mercy is what that is. The shepherds gave their priority to the Lord. They said, let us now go. I just want to ask you this morning, where's your nail? What's your nail? Well, preacher, I'm not the pastor. I didn't ask you to be the pastor. These shepherds ain't a preacher. And I'm a preacher, ain't a pastor, ain't a deacon, ain't a Sunday school teacher. We just call them normal people. Not saying that preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers are abnormal. But you get what I'm saying. Well, some of them are. No jokes. What I'm saying is, they just people that saw God's goodness and God's grace and God's glory in their life, and they said, you know, we ought to go see them right now. We ought to go spend some time with them right now. And by the way, when they done that, they left and they were happier leaving than they were when they came. They left returning and praising and glorifying God. And he ain't walked on the water. He ain't raised the dead. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's only been in that human body for a little while. But they still thought he ought to have first place. How many of you this morning said, preacher, God's been good to me? Amen. Praise God. Everyone testify about that. Preacher, I've experienced the grace of God in my life. I look at my life, see God's grace, absolutely. Preacher, I remember the night I was lost and I got born again, saw my neighbor Savior. He saved me, yeah, praise God. I remember that. The greatness of God. I've seen God do a lot of great things. Well, them shepherds saw that, Brother Richie. They said, all right, let's go now. Would you not agree that's what they saw? And just reading the Bible, that's what they saw. When they saw all that, Miss Sanford, they said, let's go right now. Let's go right now. Here's the invitation this morning. It's a twofold. Number one, if you're lost, you've never been saved, the Bible, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You don't know if the sun's going to come. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. What is your life? It's just a vapor. Vanisheth away. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I invite you this morning, you need to trust Christ. But the second invitation, if you have been saved, you experience the grace of God, the glory of God, the greatness of God, the goodness of God. I want you, you ain't got to pull out a paper. But everybody this year is getting a list and checking it twice. You get it? Okay, I just want to make sure you got it. Everybody's looking at their list, making sure they got everything. Making sure I got mama's gift and daddy's gift and Susie's gift and the preacher's gift and grandma's gift and grandpa's gift and the preacher's gift. And I'm sorry, it was on my list twice. We're all checking our list, make sure we got everything. Go to the grocery store, make sure we got our list for all the food we got. Can you pull out your spiritual list of priorities this morning and just tell me where the Lord's at on that list? Where is he at? Let's stand together. I appreciate your attention. Heads bowed.